bless you. This is Dr. Adrian Butler, and welcome to The Power of Your Destiny, part of the Christian Lifestyle Network. We are so happy that you're here with us today. For today, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We are so happy that you are here with us on today. We're going to have a very exciting show, and I tell you, you know the enemy. You know the enemy is really busy. I went to get up to take care of some things right before the broadcast, and kind of pulled a muscle there. So you guys pray for us. We had pulled a little muscle there, but anyway, all is well. We are fine, and we know that God has everything under control. On today, we're going to be talking about what I call the Joseph Project, Beyond the Walls. We have a wonderful ministry that we're going to be talking with on today. Sister Erica Fielder and her husband have started a ministry, Hearts of Inmates, and I tell you what, phenomenal ministry, dealing with people that are in prison, and I tell you what, you just continue to listen. You continue to listen. You're going to be blessed by their ministry, what they're trying to do as far as changing the pardon system within the prison system in South Carolina, and it may go beyond South Carolina into other areas. But again, we're going to talk with Sister Fielders, and she's going to share with us about their ministry, about their vision, and how they got here. You know, God is really good. Now, let me say this. For whatever reason, you know, God is truly good. My wife and I were just talking about this a few moments ago, looking at some of the areas that our show is broadcast in. You know, we're close to 80 to 70% here in Americas. That's Canada and the United States, and we have a modicum of listeners in Asia. We have a modicum of listeners in South America. 13% of our listeners last week were from Sweden, of all places. So to our brothers and sisters in Christ there in Sweden, God bless you. Thank you so much for listening to the Power of Your Destiny broadcast. Again, we could not do what we do without you. We knew we had several people that purchased books on last week, and we thank you all so much for getting our books and supporting this ministry. You know, we couldn't do what we do without you. You are such a blessing to us. You're such a blessing. And, you know, God is raising up in this generation to come. He's raising up people that would probably not do what they've been doing in the past. In other words, he's raising up the Joshuas. He's raising up a Joshua generation. The guys that were there to follow, he's raising them up to be leaders. And to you guys, God bless you. So to those people that are in Sweden, to our dear brothers and sisters in all these areas around the world that listen to this broadcast each and every week, thank you all so much. Thank you. We love you so much. This broadcast would not be possible without you. Let me give a big kudos to my producer, my lovely wife, the lovely Sister Crystal Butler. God bless her as well. She is my partner in everything I do. I tell you what, when we're on pictures and people say, man, you guys look good, and I'm like, you guys are looking at her. You're not looking at me. So she's my partner in everything we do in the ministry. She keeps my books my booking as we travel around the country and travel around preaching around the world or wherever we might do. She's the one that keeps me straight, because you guys draw in close. I would probably double book myself if it was left up to me. So she keeps me straight. So God bless you, dear heart. I love you so much. But on today, we're going to be talking about what I consider the Joseph Project. You know, when Joseph was in prison, God truly blessed him. He had an opportunity to be a blessing to by using his gifts while he was in prison. And in fact, it became such a blessing that it got the attention of the king, of the Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh pulled him out of prison and used his gifts. And so just think about all of the gifts that are behind prison right now. And I truly believe, as we're talking about hearts for inmates today, that God is going to do some phenomenal things. Well, I'm going to stop talking. You know, I can go on. You know how those preachers are. They can really go on. I could go on and on. But we got some audios we want you to listen to. Call your friends and tell them we're on the air. The calling number is 347-215-8947. And you can also tell them, or they can log in to blogtalkradio, all one word, .com/CLN for Christian Lifestyle Network. We'll be right back after these audios. This is Dr. Ray Jerome Butler and the Christian Lifestyle Network. We'll be right back after these audios.
Hi, this is Crystal Williams, host of Beauty Essentials, where we are bringing you, that's right, the man and the woman, timeless beauty for your mind, your body, and your spirit. Make sure you tune in every Tuesday and Friday evenings at 7 p.m., where you will be enlightened, inspired, and empowered, right here on the Christian Lifestyle Network. Stay beautiful, be you, and God bless.
You go to sleep crying yourself to sleep, literally cursing God, cussing God with the words you'd learned that day at school.
Larry Blue was 9 years old when his world came crashing down. His parents separated, and that same year, a relative began to physically and sexually abuse him. Larry blamed God.
I was praying, obviously and naturally, for God to bring my dad back home and for the abuse to stop. And then when, you know, Dad didn't come back home, got remarried, the abuse kept going. And so the anger kept building. I decided at a really early age, at 9, that God must not exist.
In his teen years, Larry tried to numb his pain.
I had started gambling, looking at pornography, drinking alcohol at 13 years old, and grew mushrooms and sold them at school, made my own acid or LSD, sold it at school. Just about anything I put my hands on was becoming an addiction.
After high school, Larry served 2 years in the Army and stopped using drugs. But after he left the service, he became a roadie for a band and started working large concerts. Drugs and alcohol were readily available.
My career fed my addiction, and my lifestyle fed my addiction, and they all just fed into each other. It was really hard to break out of that cycle doing that career. There was very little accountability. I didn't have to drive much when I was on the road working, so I just continued to use, drink. The drug addiction just went spiraling out of control again.
In his 30s, Larry stopped traveling and tried to settle down. He married and had a daughter, but his addictions were still in control.
The thing I was looking for most was the next high, and it started as soon as I woke up in the morning.
Larry was arrested for numerous DUIs and served short stints behind bars. After his third arrest, his wife left and his family completely cut ties.
I didn't want treatment. I didn't want help. I didn't think there was anything wrong with me. I thought it was everybody else's problem and not mine.
In September 2001, Larry was arrested for his 7th DUI and was handed a 14-year prison sentence.
The judge right away started to tell me, you can forget about getting a bond. You can forget about getting bail. You're going to prison. No one was taking any of my phone calls. I had burnt all the bridges, and I was finally left alone with the Lord. And that's exactly what had to happen.
For the first time in years, Larry started to pray. He also started reading the Bible.
You know, I knew nothing about God. I had been atheist all my life. When I started to read the Bible, I said to God, I will read every word of this. And I had read through the whole New Testament.
After reading about the life and teachings of Jesus, Larry wanted more. So he went to a prison church service where the pastor challenged the inmates to give their lives to God.
And at the end of that sermon, even though I had just honed in on every word that preacher had said, I was still reluctant to go forward. And in that split second, I thought, I've been a military policeman, I've been a stagehand, camera operator, I've experienced all these other things, drug addiction, I've never tried this. I was one of the last people to go forward to the altar call. He put one hand right in the center of my chest and one hand around me on my back, and he started to pray. It was like somebody had taken honey out of the microwave in a, you know, like a measuring cup, and just poured it down the back of my neck. And I felt this warmth just coming all over my body. And then I thought, I don't care what this is, I just want more. God, just pour it on me. That changed everything for me.
Larry says that day he was immediately delivered from all of his addictions. He also gained the courage to forgive his childhood abuser.
It took me several days of prayer and asking the Lord to help me to forgive her. I realized that I was never going to grow. I was never going to fully mature as a person until I found the strength somehow to forgive my abuser.
Larry was in prison less than a year when the judge gave him a 6-year home detention sentence. It was later reduced to only 6 months.
That was definitely the favor of God. There's no way an attorney could have worked that out for me. No matter how much money I would have paid to go from a 6-year sentence to a 6-month sentence, that was definitely the favor of God.
After his release, Larry earned a degree in theology and began leading a church prison ministry. Today, he's still free from his addictions and has restored his relationship with his daughter. He's also a licensed addiction counselor for the Salvation Army.
I'm sure there's young people out there, like I was, I'm sure there is, that are thinking, oh no, not another guy talking about Jesus. What I would say to those people right now is, get a hold of the Lord now before more of your life is gone. God has done miraculous things in my life in such a short period of time. Don't wait. Reach out for Him now.
You are listening to the Christian Lifestyle Network.
And we're back. That was, wow, that was definitely a very powerful piece for me. When I first heard it, as we were doing research for this show, the Joseph Project, as I call it, you know, that God has so much talent and so much talent behind bars, young men and women that have made a mistake in the course of their lives, and people have written them off. But, you know, through all, God can do anything. And anything that we can imagine, anything that we can do, that talent is locked up behind prison right now. We have two wonderful guests with us. As I said earlier, Sister Felicia Fielder, who has a ministry, Hearts for Inmates, and as well as Bishop Nadinia Barber, are with us today. And we're going to ask the chaplain, if she will, to kind of go through us with this and kind of co-host with me as we go through this, because she is living this. She's actually the chaplain at McCormick, South Carolina, at the prison there in McCormick, South Carolina. So first of all, Sister Fielders, God bless you. Are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Oh, great grace to you. We are so happy to have you here on the Poverty Destiny broadcast. Would you introduce yourself to the audience, please?
Yes, sir. My name is Erica Fielder, and I am the founder of Hearts for Inmates. Can you hear me, sir?
Amen. Yeah, we got you. We hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. And thank you so much for taking time out to allow me to be able to be on your show today.
Praise God. We're so happy to have you. And our next guest she's no stranger to this broadcast, no stranger to my life. We were actually talking yesterday. I'm not going to tell how long we've been friends. I don't want to tell her age, but we've been friends for probably over 2 decades, and such a blessing in my life, and I know the lives that she touches there in a church in Augusta, Georgia, and she wears another hat as a chaplain, Bishop Nadinia Barber. God bless you, Bishop. Great grace to you.
Great grace to you, Dr. Butler, and so good to be on your show tonight, Power of Destiny. We just thank God for this opportunity, and I tell you, it's a great subject tonight that you want to talk about, and I am the senior chaplain at McCormick Correction Institution in McCormick, South Carolina. It's a level 3 maximum level prison, and it's a state prison in South Carolina, all males. And okay. I've been there as a senior chaplain since 2007. However, I've been coming in to do prison ministry there since 1992. So I do have a long-standing relationship, you know, there at McQuarrie, even though inmates have been there a long, long time, some of the lifers. Also, I'm a pastor in Augusta, Georgia, with the Way Church International. It's a new church in June. We will be 4 years old. And
praise God.
We just thank the Lord. And yes, I've been knowing my brother over two decades.
We'll leave it at that for you. For lady never tells age.
That's right.
And I think I would probably scare everybody to tell mine as well. Sister Fielder, God bless you. Tell us a little bit about your ministry. I'm so intrigued. When we had an opportunity to read some of your bio, and we had an opportunity to talk with you about your ministry, it really intrigued me, and we really wanted to do this show because I think that as I was saying earlier, we've had so much greatness that has been locked up behind bars. Martin Luther King, our Savior Jesus Christ, was a prisoner.
Yes.
All of the mm-hmm. apostles have been prisoners at one time or another. And so as I'm cutting it, the Joseph Project, you know, the talent, the vision, the gifting
yes,
is right there incarcerated. So share with us about your ministry and what your ministry is doing. And we're going to ask Bishop Barbara. She's kind of going to co-host with me. If she can slide in
yes,
there,
sir.
If she has any questions, she'll ask them as well.
Yes, sir. Well, how this whole thing came about is that I'm a wife of a person who's incarcerated. My husband is incarcerated. And after going to see him and kind of hearing almost year after year, people kind of complaining about different things, you know, within the institutions, within the judicial system, those kind of things, he and I decided that we wanted to be a part of the solution, not just people talking about,
Amen.
You know, the complaining. And so this is something that I tell people that God gave us in a sense. I never in a million years could have prepared for something such as this. However, he gave us every tool necessary in order to do so. And the first thing was, I feel like I'm one of those people with crazy faith because I know that beauty can come from ashes. And a lot of times people don't realize that we never know where life can lead us. However, there's God. And so when you think about
That's
these
right.
men and women, a lot of times, you know, some of them, I'm not one to say guilty or innocent. I'm here to say redemption. When you talk about how
Amen.
God can do the impossible, how God can change the heart of man, how people can begin to be being transformed. And I think a lot of times we forget that, that God is the judge, that anybody really
Amen.
Can become anything if they're given their hearts and their souls and their minds and to him. So, again, that's how the organization got started, our ministry got started, was beginning to do legislation. He gave us specific instructions as to go and tell the people to let my people go. And I was thinking, okay, go tell who, in a sense. And so he began to tell me, you know, how to go, where to go, and who to speak to. So that our actual day of becoming a corporation or a nonprofit was 5/15/2015. And since that time going forth, he has literally led the way because, again, I didn't have a background in the legal system. I didn't know certain things. However, his grace and mercy is truly sufficient. So that's how we've been striving. We've been potentially looking at getting legislation changed as far as giving people second chances or even a first chance. I think that that's sometimes what people miss, that sometimes just because your age does not necessarily determine your maturity or your spiritual level. People can change, and that's what he came for. And I think that we have to get past the judgment because, again, he came that all may be saved. I tell people that Isaiah, that's kind of one of our scriptures that we use, is Isaiah 61:1-3, when he talks about him coming to set the captives free. And we have here in this state more than 20,000 men and women who are incarcerated, and we need to not forget about them. We need to be able to extend that kind of love that Christ commands us to have, and that particular population is often looked at or frowned upon. So we have to be able to extend that grace to those people as well.
Amen. Amen. And so, Sister Fielder, go ahead, Bishop. Go ahead, Bishop.
Erica, and I know Erica too, and I tell you what, she's a woman with a mission, and she's single-minded with it. She's very focused, and I do admire what you do as far as your mission. God gives everybody assignment, and your assignment is with heart for inmates. But some would look at you and say that you have a husband incarcerated, so that's your job and fuel. Could you speak to that?
Well, it's not about just my husband. Let me make that clear. That's why it's Hearts for Inmates, where it's not just about him. It's not the focus. However, I do think that it was done on purpose as to get me to be able to do what needed to be done. However, I know that this group of people, whether it's your husband, your brother, your sister, whoever it is, these are still God's chosen people. And if my husband comes home tomorrow, my will is to do what God would have me to do. He didn't just tell me to fight for Wayne. A lot of family members, I think all of us kind of in the beginning, we may fight for our own person through the legal system as far as doing that. None of that has worked. We have to begin to make change, not just for our person. I tell people that this mission is not just for one person. We stand for all those who are striving to do better and become better. So, again, my voice is not to speak on the behalf of one person. It's to speak collectively for all of those who are striving. So that was initially prior to Hearts for Inmates. Yes, I was solely focused on fighting for him. However, with me doing what God told me to do, he didn't say go fight for Wayne. He said go and tell them to let my people go. So that means more than one. So my mission and focus is not primarily on him. It's to be able to reconnect all families by doing it through the will of God.
Amen. And let me state this as well also, because, you know, Bishop and Sister Fielder, God has really been dealing with me here lately about, you know, God doesn't bless a person, he blesses a purpose. You know, he you know, once you get to the enlightenment and understanding that he's not blessing me, you know, this personality,
right,
but he's blessing the purpose he's placed in me. So with your ministry, he's you know, even though the initial onus of your ministry may have been the focal point of your husband, but God had what you have in you and what you're doing. God had to get that focus some way. The purpose in you had to, in you and your husband, had to be ignited some way. And
yes,
sometimes, you know, being as close to the fire as possible is how we can ignite something. You can't ignite something if you're 500 miles away. You got to be close to the wood and close to the fuel in order for it to catch fire. So we commend you for what you're doing. It is a blessing. Bishop, thank you. That's a great question. I would have missed that. You know, I'm kind of those softballs sometimes. That's a good question. But Bishop, go ahead, Eric.
I was just gonna put one little last thing on it. The reason why it's not just we do this not just for one person is because what about the people who don't have anybody? That's another factor.
Of course.
It's a lot of men and women that don't have anybody to speak up for them. So, again, that's why our heart is not just leaning towards people. What is it good to only love those who love you? So, again, I do this. We do this not just for people that we know, because a lot of these people I never met before in my life. However, willing to do the work as if they were my own. It's the love that God has given me for one person kind of has outpoured onto the others. So, again, I just wanted to say that no, we want to be able to love those, even if they have nobody there to speak for them. I look to be that person that God has allowed me to be able to speak on their behalf if they do have family, and even if they don't have family. I believe that family needs to be reconnected and being able to do everything that God has given us to do.
Amen. And I know Bishop asked the question to put, you know, those naysayers to rest, that this is a ministry you and your husband will continue. Even at, like you said, if your husband come home tomorrow, God's blessed your purpose to continue on what he would have you do. Bishop, you know, as a chaplain in the prison system, and you know, I know, you know, from having your daughter in my summer camps and me preaching for you, you preaching for me being you know, my God baby is your grandson, you know, and vice versa. For everything that you're doing in the prison, I know your heart, and is it, and I have to ask this, you know, you're a female in this male predominant environment, you know, with prisoners level three. How are you received in the dynamic of being a chaplain? Because, now I'm going to say this. Now, Erica, close your ears. Audience, close your ears. I'm talking to my friend. You know you couldn't fight your way out of a wet paper bag. So how did you deal with it? That's two friends talking now. So how are you received in the prison system? Because I know someone would say, you know, by knowing you, you're an attractive lady, you dress very nicely and everything else. How are you received in that environment? And I know it's nothing but God, but you share with the audience how you're received in that environment, and how are you making a change with the Josephs that's behind bars?
Well, that's a great question, my brother, Dr. Butler. You know, because I had a relationship at that prison for so long, coming in just as a minister, coming in preaching the gospel for so many years, it was really prophesied to me by one of the male inmates that God was going to bring me there, use me as a chaplain there, a paid chaplain.
Oh, wow.
And yes, it was prophesied, and when he was prophesying, he was trembling, he was crying, he was shaking, and saying what thus saith the Lord. And, you know, and that day when he said that, it had to be, I know, I don't have an exact number, I'm just going to estimate, between 20 and 25 inmates that told me, the chaplain position is open, you need to put in for it. The chaplain position is open, you need to put in for it. So there was the inmate, he was a male inmate, saying this to me. And I had been there before as a chaplain intern when I was going through the year resident to be certified as a chaplain. So, like I say, some of these inmates did know me, and I had been ministering there. So the reception from the beginning was there, and it was there because of the anointing and because of God calling me to pastoral ministry, because as a chaplain, it's pastoral ministry. It's pastoral care and pastoral counseling. That's the major bulk of what you do in a prison. However, there are some male inmates, you know, men in prison, they had a life before. So some of them were insured. They had their theological beliefs before they came. So some of those that had their own theological beliefs before they came to prison, they don't believe that women should be even in ministry or that women should preach.
Wow.
So you had some of those inmates, even though they were inmates, that still believed that way. But nevertheless, it never was a hindrance to me because of the majority of them were very receptive. And God has given me a grace to work with males even before going to the prison. He's just given me a grace. Many of them see me as, some of them call me pastor. Some of them call me my chaplain. Some of them say my pastor. Some of them call me mom. Some of them even say, you remind me of my auntie and my grandma. So they are very receptive, because when they come to me, it's usually in their brokenness, spiritual direction, you know, theological dialogue, death in their family, and they understand that I am the pastor in the prison, and I am the spiritual leader and guide there. So there's a high respect. However, I want to say this, my brother, I do try to carry myself as a godly woman before men. I don't do things to tempt them. I dress in a manner that you know, respectable, and that God would be pleased with. And because I do oversee other chaplains, I send them a lot out into their living area. I don't try to spend a whole lot of time in their living area. You know, I get around the prison, but I don't try to spend a whole lot of time in their living area.
Okay. Praise God. Praise God. And so we know that you're making an impact. You know, you and I talk all the time, and we're always in prayer for some of the inmates that are in there. But Sister Fielder, this question is for you. And I know you're working a lot on the outside through legislation. And I know your husband isn't online. Share with us, you know, what your husband's role has been, because he's inside working hearts of inmates. So share with us, because he's the Joseph inside with the other prisoners.
Yes, sir.
You understand what I'm saying? Well, loving on them.
Yes,
as
sir.
You're outside with Pharaoh, you're dealing with Pharaoh on the outside. He's dealing with other inmates on the inside. The baker and the butcher are there with him. So share with
yes,
us
sir.
Your husband's role in the ministry while he's incarcerated, and the impact he's having with prisoners on from his perspective.
Yes, sir. Daily, you know, he's always been an encourager, despite of the situation or circumstances. He's been able to keep people, as far as I think, keeping them hopeful as to believing that anything can happen at any moment. You know, God, when man says no, God can say yes.
Yes.
By allowing them to realize that, first of all, ask them, where's your faith? Your faith is in God, the one who's able to see and do. He's able to do anything at any moment. So he's always encouraging people to let them know, you know, where things stand as far as the legislation, helping people as far as letting them know how bills become law. So now, you know, people can understand the process. You know, we perish because of lack of knowledge. A lot of times we don't really know because we've never really been involved. We kind of been leaning on everyone else's understanding and not our own. But understanding, you know, that we need to make better decisions in our waiting, you know, to not be discouraged, to not be involved in activity that possibly could not benefit you if this legislation comes into place. You know, you want to be in a position that when the light turns green, you're able to go. So I think that even with the bulk of the responsibility, having to deal with, you know, constant questions and being able to stay focused, not only because he can easily say, focus on me, you know, fight for me.
Right,
he tells me every day, you continue to do what you do, we're going to do for others. God will take care of us as we see about others. So even, you know, to me, that's true humility. To not focus on you, to focus on the other brothers and sisters. You know, he said, I see it all the time, how now people are beginning to have hope again. People that, you know, men are coming up and saying, you know, I thank God that somebody heard my prayer. I have been praying and praying, and this has been a prayer to answer, that somebody's listening. Somebody's willing to look at me as a man again and not as a monster. Whatever they have done, a lot of these men now are becoming hopeful again, that anything truly can happen, and that faith without works is truly dead. So we're doing the work and continuing to plant those seeds at all costs. And again, it's not for us to get glory. It's not for us to be boastful. It's just being appreciative that we had the faith to go. I don't know how many people that God tried to convince to do this mission. I don't know. We were just crazy enough to say we will go, not worrying about what we had, what we didn't have, who was with us, who's not with us, who's going to help us build. I tell people, if we have to walk, we have to crawl, whatever it is we have to do to get to the finish line, we're going to continue to go. And in that, because my husband said, Erica, you have to continue to build even if no one else comes. Continue to build.
That's right.
And that's what we're doing. We want to be able to give people hope and showing. And I don't know how many people believe in God. I'm not asking them to believe my belief. But how do I know? Because what I believe, want encourage them to see that all things truly are possible, that God can work through me. And maybe I need to try this God out. Because it's not by mistake or circumstance that at this very moment, in this very time, he calls such people. You know, even though he said as many parts, it's still one body. Even though you have so many people working throughout the state of South Carolina, we are coming together collectively in order to get this mission to be done. And I think that, you know, he's doing a phenomenal job, not because he's still suffering. You know, he's still there in the fire. I tell people that, you know,
right.
we still live this every day. He's not at home.
Right.
I live the same things that these families feel, the emotional, the psychological, the financial, the emotional, all those things that people feel, we feel them too, even at a heightened or sense of urgency in a sense, because we feel it too. He's still having to live there. We're having to live this same life that other people are living, even with more pressure, because people are looking, in a sense, for this legislation to become into existence. So we have to stay focused. We have to be mindful of what we do and how we do it so God can do the increase.
Amen. Amen. Well,
we're going
to take, if you can hold your thought, Bishop, we're going to take just a real quick break. And when we come back, Bishop is going to share with us her thought. And Sister Fields, when we come back, I want you to talk a little bit more about H5-120 and where it's at currently and how people can get in contact with you and you as well, Bishop. When we come back, tell people how they can get in contact with you, how they can if they need any advice or if they need to connect with you and your ministry, how they can do that. And we'll do that when we come back at the top of the hour, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. We have an awesome show going on right now. Bishop Nadine Barber, who's a chaplain at McCormick Correctional Institute, as well as Sister Erica Fielders, she and her husband founded a ministry, Hearts for Inmates, in the state of South Carolina, and doing a phenomenal job. And we're going to just take a real smooth break, give you an opportunity to let you go get some water. Don't you go anywhere. Don't you touch the dial. Don't you shut off the phone. Don't shut off the internet. But come right back, because you might miss something. We're so happy once again that you are part of the broadcast here on the Power of Your Destiny broadcast, part of the Christian Lifestyle Network. We will be right back after this audio. This is your host, Dr. Ray Jerome Butler, and we'll be right back after this audio.
Hi, this is Dr. Soretta Smith, and you're listening to the Christian Lifestyle Network.
Here's a few reasons why people don't go to church.
I can't come to church until I get my life together.
Church is how I got my life together.
Church is filled with a bunch of hypocrites, and there's always room for one more.
All they care about is your money.
They care about me, not about my money.
Is there some kind of dress code?
Yes, the code is wear some clothes.
Church, it just makes me nervous.
I was nervous at first, and then I felt right at home.
I'm not sure I believe everything that you believe.
But you can still belong.
Church is for wimpy, girly men.
You want to say that again?
If you knew me and what I've done, you wouldn't want me.
If you knew me and what I've done, you wouldn't be worried.
You can come to my church even if you were brought up Catholic,
Baptist, Methodist, Jewish,
Mormon, Lutheran, Pentecostal,
Presbyterian, Church of Christ,
Southern Baptist.
A little bit of everything and a whole lot of nothing.
See, it's not about a religion, it's about a relationship.
So please, come to my church.
Where nobody's perfect.
Where beginners are welcome.
Where socks are optional,
but grace is required.
Where forgiveness is offered.
Where hope is alive.
And where it's okay to not be okay. Really.
This is Reverend Timothy Williams, pastor of the Montmorency Missionary Baptist Church of Montmorency, South Carolina. You are tuned in to the Power of Your Destiny broadcast. May God bless you and may heaven smile upon you.
So it is the dumbing down of ideas
And when ideas stop, economy stops, creativity stops, buildings, corporations all stop, because everything happens that's important to you between this year and this year. You are one thought away from a great reformation in your life. One thought away from being a millionaire. One thought from overcoming. One thought from starting a ministry. One thought from building a business. One thought for the cure for AIDS is one thought away. The cure for cancer is one thought away. You serve the Lord with your mind. You serve humanity with your mind. If you sow into the kingdom, you're not asking God to give you money. What is money? Give me a thought. Give me an idea. Give me a strategy. Give me a plan. You are one thought away from the greatest experience you have ever had in your life. You are one idea away. Your credit is not a problem. Your house is not a problem. Your car is not a problem. Your situation is not a problem. Your thoughts are the problem. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Do you have the courage? God says to Abraham, look out from where you are. He says, oh man, do you have the courage to think beyond the parameters of your present location? He said, look out! What do you see? I see the stars of heaven. Look out! What do you see? The sands of the earth. He said, what you see is what you'll be. You are creative because you were created in the likeness of a creator. You need to be creative to live your life to its fullest potential, because you are a creator. God doesn't give you finished product because you need something to create. So God did not create the telephone. God did not create the computer. God did not create the automobile. God did not create a chair. He never made not one chair. He made a tree. He made steel. He made gold. He made air. God is going to give you the raw stuff to give you something to think about. So you look at it and say, what can I do with the stuff you gave me? Everything starts in the thoughts you think. You are no better than the thoughts you think. If you think little, you go little. If you think weak, you go weak. If you think up, you go up. One thought. Slap yourself in the head. One thought. That's how close you are. So now is the season for you to move distractions, confusion, turmoil out of the way, to find a peaceful place where you can meditate and think, what am I going to do at this season in my life? What am I going to do with this age and stage? What could I do with the circumstances in my life? What would you do with what you have to make it better? One thought. If God whispers in your ear once every 10 years, it would change the last half of your life. He doesn't have to say something to you every day. It'll take you 10 years to work out what he said one time in your life. You are one thought away. God thought, I'll make me a world. He spoke.
You are listening to the Christian Lifestyle Network.
You are one thought away from the greatest experience that you will ever have. Thank you to Bishop T.D. Jakes for that. That powerful, powerful, powerful piece. You know, I always say one of my monikers is, man, if people aren't laughing at your dream, it's too small. If they're not laughing at your ministry, if they're not laughing at what you're saying God told you, it's entirely too small. And it probably, it's a good possibility, it probably didn't come from God. Because God doesn't deal with the ordinary. The ordinary stuff, it's anyone can do the ordinary. He raises up people to do the extraordinary. As I said earlier, he's not blessing your personality. He's blessing your purpose. The purpose he has in you is what he's blessing, and that's what he needs activated to get you moving. That's what he needs activated to bring you from where you were yesterday, walking in your mediocre silence and stagnant, That's what he needs you to do in order to get to the place of greatness, to get to the place of blessings, to get to the places of miracles. If David had stayed home watching the sheep, Goliath would still be talking crap. But God has a purpose in each of us to go out and defeat the Goliaths. Let me pay the bills real quick, if you will, our books, and we just got a new product in. It will go online on tomorrow. It is signed for your house and all. You'll see it there tomorrow. The Holy Spirit's on me right now. I know I got to pay the bills. But you can go to Christian Lifestyle Network or CLN Shop to look at any of the product offerings there. Also, ZionsBridge.com, our books and our resource material is right there. And if you need to book us for any of your engagements that are coming up, we not only do, of course, we're pastors, so we are 100% do that, but also we do corporate events as well. If you have a corporate event and you need a motivational speaker, we're here for that as well. So with all of that said, now some folk will listen and say, wow, you're doing motivational speaking? Yes, and everything I do has God in it. I can't motivate you any other way other than to let you know, because corporate America, if no one else needs God right now, corporate America needs God. Amen?
Amen.
We're back right Amen. Now with our two guests, Bishop Nadine Barber, who is a chaplain at McCormick Correctional Institute, and also Sister Erica Fielders, powerful ministry she and her husband Lewis have, and it is Hearts for Inmates. And again, Erica, I'm sure that people have laughed at you. Again, we know it's from God, because I say again, if people aren't laughing, if they're not pointing their finger and saying that it's crazy, that's you. But if they're doing all that, that's God. And so tell us a little bit about H5120 and what exactly this is. And we got about 13 minutes, and then I want you to tell us how people get in contact with you. And then, Bishop, we'll come back to you. We're going to ask you to pray as we get ready to go out, but we also want to make sure the audience knows how to connect with you as well. So share with us about the bill and where it's at right now, Erica.
Okay, sir. Well, it was 5120 in April. We were able to get it reintroduced, this legislation, so now the H5120 is now what you would now consider as being H3235. So the
gotcha.
New bill
okay.
number is H3235. Right now we're working to get the constituents involved in with the correct and the amount of calls, emails, and just reaching out to both their senators and their House members, letting them know that they support this bill, and in return they're asking if they support it, we'll be able to get a hearing. So that's the first step, is us to be able to get a hearing on it. 5120 last year, we were able to get a hearing. However, with the legislative session ending and the short amount of time that we had, we were not able to get that bill voted on. So this year we have more time.
So share with me real quick, Erica. Share with the audience real quick. Mm-hmm. What is the bill stating? What are you trying to do? What are you trying to do with H3235?
Yes, sir. What the bill would do, it would reduce the mandatory minimum from 85% to 65%. Now, some people, you know, may have a hard time understanding what that is. I'll give you a brief synopsis of what that means. Back in 1995, South Carolina implemented a law, the Truth in Sentencing, which basically took away the judge's discretion and required that a person serve at least a mandatory minimum of 85% of their time without any kind of reduction, no good behavior credits, no work credits, nothing. They had to serve that amount of time. South Carolina currently has more than 10,465 people up under that particular statute. So they're not receiving any good time, no good behavior credits, none of that. So that's more than half of the current prison population. So what that bill would do, it'll reestablish that good behavior and that work credit, because we know that people all work differently according to, you know, each person. It'll give them something
right.
to work towards. They can earn those credits with more than 11,000 of those incarcerated currently don't have a GED or high school diploma. So basically, it'll take away so much the punishment and now help them get the rehabilitative part that they would need to ensure that they become out and be productive. Also, it will give them the credits from 3 days. Those who are under 65, it'll increase it to 6 days per month that they can earn. And if a person has served at least a 15-year sentence, they can go up before a modifying judge to look at who they are today versus when they initially were incarcerated. So those are the things that the bill could potentially do. And like I said, there's a way that we can maintain public safety and also be smart on crime and not just hard on crime.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. Share with us, Sister Fielder, how can people get in contact with you? As you're trying to get the bill pushed through legislation, do you have a website, an email, if someone would like to have you come and speak, or would like you to talk with their church, or even come on another radio show? How would they get in contact with you all to help your efforts?
Okay, sir. The email address is heart, heartsforinmates@gmail.com. The website is heartsforinmates.org, and I can be reached at 864-547-0675. Those are the three ways of contact. And any opportunity to be able to, again, speak on anything that's going to help those who are incarcerated and the family. Again, I believe wholeheartedly that we can make change and look at things and not just look at the punishment. We have to be able to do more than what's been done, considering that 95% of the people incarcerated at some point are going to get out. We need to ensure why they are incarcerated, that they receive everything, every tool necessary for them to get out and be productive. And that's what this is about, allowing them to be able to get every tool necessary. You don't have to personally like me. I just ask that you look at don't miss the message by looking at the messenger. Again, I'm just the messenger, and we will continue to do the work because it's going to happen. Change is going to happen. I'm not telling you it's going to happen overnight, but I do know that it will happen as long as we continue to do everything that we can do. Again, faith without works is dead. We have to be willing to do the work.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much, Sister Phyllis. Stay on the line with us. We want to pray for this ministry, but Bishop, we have about 8 minutes, about 7 minutes here. Would you share with people how they can get in contact with you? Any efforts that you're doing that people can do, and at the same time, how they can connect with you and your church if they're in the Augusta, Georgia area? How can they come and get some of that good down home teaching that that Bishop Nadine Barber has, Chaplain Barber has? So how can they get in contact with you and your beautiful church there in Augusta, Georgia?
Praise the Lord. Well, in order to get involved with the prison ministry, I would encourage those that are listening to call McCormick Correctional Institution at 864-443-2116. That's 864-443-2116. And my extension is 5537. You can just simply ask for Chaplain Barber, and they will connect you with me. We often need volunteers. Right now I have quite a few volunteers that have been coming into the prison for many years, teaching Bible classes, teaching character development classes, preaching the word, as well as just being a mentor to some of the inmates. And this is male and female. So you can contact me, and I can get you started if you're interested. We'll take you through an orientation or training, get you qualified with a background check, a criminal background check, and once all those things are done, you're well on your way to being in position to minister there at McCormick Correctional Institution. So I look forward to hearing from some of you that are listening tonight. My church here that I pastor is the Way Church International, and right now, because it's a new church start, we're having services in the Baymont Inn and Suites Hotel in Augusta, Georgia, 629 Frontage Road. That's 629 Frontage Road in Augusta, Georgia. And we would love to have you. Our Sunday services are at 11:30 a.m. every Sunday. Sunday school, that's youth and adults, 10:30 a.m. every Sunday. And we would love to have you to come and just share with us. If you have any questions about that, the ministry, the church, email me, please. And I'm on Facebook. I'm under Nedenia Barber, N-E-D-E-N-I-A, Barber, B-A-R-B-E-R. You can Facebook me, inbox me, or you can email me at ulysesbarber@att.net. Look forward
Amen.
To hearing from you, and look forward to working with you in ministry.
Amen, amen. Now, Bishop, let me back up. You know, your brother getting old. Before we went to the break, you had something to share. Was that what you had to share? Was how to get in contact with the ministry, or was there a question that you had prior to? We got about 3 minutes here.
You went into some of it. I was going to ask Sister Felder to talk about that bill and also comment on a couple of weeks ago. I sit on a panel that she asked me to sit on. Concerning
okay.
that bill, I sit in a posture of chaplain and was able to really give some insight to a lot of people in the audience because, you know, the public, there's a lot of things they don't know that go on behind the bars. So some of them I met out there, they were family members, they were parents, they were wives, they were business owners, they were concerned citizens, they were legislators, there were many people in that audience. And, that needed to hear that the inmates had spiritual guidance behind the bars and that they did have classes and the classes were volunteer. They can come to those classes. They can get certificates. They can be built up spiritually and have character classes for their development before they get out. So I was glad she had me on that panel, and I was going to ask her to speak about the bill, but you did that already. And so we're just grateful for what Sister Felder is doing out there, and being a liaison and a trailblazer and a forerunner with, you know, pushing this bill through on the behalf of
Amen.
All of the enemies.
Amen. Praise God. Well, Bishop, again, we thank you so much for being on the show, Sister Feeler. We thank you so much, and we pray God's greatest blessings that you are undergirded on each and every side, because we understand and we know any time that we are doing anything with government and any time we're doing anything for God, it can be tasking at times. So we pray the fruit of the Spirit, and one of the fruit of the Spirit is long suffering. So, and you don't sound like one that's going to give up anytime soon. Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Praise God. Bishop, would you pray us out? Pray for their ministry and pray for the prison, the prisoners behind bars, and lead us in prayer, if you don't mind, as we prepare to end the broadcast.
Sure. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do come before your throne of grace. And Father, we're so glad that we can come, oh God, and knock and seek and ask you, Father. We thank you that your ears are always open to the cry of your people. Father, we just thank you for this broadcast on Power of Destiny on tonight, Father. We thank you for the hearers that have heard and have gained more insight, oh God, concerning their loved ones and those that are behind prison bars and the opportunities, Father, and the rehabilitation that can take place and the salvation that can take place. Father, we just pray for hearts for Jesus, hearts for inmates ministry. We pray for Erica Felder and her husband, oh God, as they promote this ministry, oh God. Father, we pray that you would give them strength, that they would have what they need, oh God, the resources to continue to go out and lobby and be a liaison and be a voice, oh God. Just like John the Baptist was a voice crying out in the wilderness, oh God. Father, we pray that you would continue to open up the doors, a wide door of utterance for this ministry, oh God. We thank you for the network, and we thank you for the favor upon it, oh God. We pray, oh God, that you continue to breathe your breath of life upon this ministry. Father, we pray, oh God, for Power of Broadcast, Power of Destiny, oh God, this ministry that's broadcasting. We pray, oh God, that it would continue, oh God, to bring those to the forefront that others can hear and learn and grow and be developed and Father, be empowered, oh God, to be a change agent in this world. And we just praise you for it. Continue to bless Dr. Butler, oh God, as he continues, oh God, to be the visionary of this broadcast. And Father, we thank you for all that's been said and done on tonight. We pray that the inmates, oh God, behind prison bars, oh God, will be saved, oh God, as you draw the plan. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, Bishop. Praise God, Sister Fielder. God bless you. Great grace to you. Listen, dear hearts, I know there's a lot of things that are out there that can get you distracted. Don't be distracted. Let God be in your life. And remember, as we always say, continue to love life, love God. Right on. We'll see you all next week here on the Poverty Destiny broadcast, part of the Christian Lifestyle Network. God bless.
God bless you. Thank you.
Good night.